Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alexander Zalman!
Hey!
Thank you. Thank you for saying my formal full name. I appreciate it.
Alexander Zalbanium.
I don't even know. What's your guys' middle names?
Huh? My middle name?
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Two.
Whoa.
Oh, Spider-Man 2.
That's great. Shitty. That's
Wait,
a can shitty
we do
middle name.
The top of the show check-in? Have you seen Captain America yet?
Which movie?
Oh,
is that a...
Fuck
a
you.
Seriously.
Go fuck yourself.
Every week, dude. Every week, bro.
Well, there's a lot of there are new movies coming out.
You've
every
had
week.
7 full days. That movie is two and a half hours long.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's so easy to slot that in when you say it
it
that
is.
Way.
Have you
it's
slept at all this week?
No, not 1 minute.
Oh,
all right.
See?
I was going to say, that would have been a time you could have slotted it.
No, yeah. No. I've just been living like a psychopath all that week.
I believe that.
Pete, what's your middle name? Jay?
William.
Oh, it's not Jay? Isn't that it was a Jay?
Why would it be Jay?
Peter J. LePage. That's what we always say.
We always say Peter J. LePage.
Yeah, we've been doing the show for 7.5 years, and you've never corrected me on saying Peter J. LePage.
Yep.
Your middle name is William?
Peter William LePage.
That sounds like bullshit.
My dad is William Peter. His dad before that was Peter William.
So
William Peter.
Oh, you're
Peter
swapping
William.
Back and forth?
Peter William. Yep.
That's weird.
Weird. That's weird.
Yeah. Whatever. Some people are like senior, junior. I think that's weird.
So you swip swap back
we
and swip, forth.
Swappy, swappy, swip.
Cool. And you alternate crazy, like literal insane personalities. So what about you?
I don't have a middle name.
For real?
What? For real, yeah.
You just don't have one?
I just don't have one.
Does your brother have a middle name?
Nope.
Is that a... Whoa. Okay, I don't know.
Shut up.
Yeah, I know. Is that a...
Why'd you bring this up if you're really sensitive about it?
I don't know. Well, because he said my full name, so I said my full name. That actually is Alexander Zalman is my full name.
Your greatest weakness is your lack of middle name.
Do you have a second last name then?
I usually say the Zalman twice.
Oh, okay.
Just
that's
in case
cool.
people didn't get it the first time.
That's good. That's a great advertising technique.
Yeah, Alexander Zalman... Zalbin?
If you could have a middle name, do you have any ideas of what it would be?
Oh, boy. Whatever you guys want.
Perfect. Wow. Well, by the end of the show, I think we'll come up with a pretty sweet
middle name. I think so. And you guys listening at home, make sure to tune in and check us to make sure we follow up on this joke from the beginning of the show. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have tonight.
Yeah.
He just started a column for Vice, which is awesome. So we're very excited to talk about that and many other things. One of our favorite guests on the show, ladies and gentlemen, Nat Towson.
Yeah. Nat Towson, come on down. Welcome to the show, sir.
Nat. Thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We're very excited to have you here. So, Vice, this is a thing I hear.
It's a magazine about smoking?
Yeah. It's also a TV show. What are some of your vices?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Comic books.
What's the dirtiest comic book you've ever read?
The dirtiest comic book I've ever read?
Yeah.
I have to think about that. I'll remember by the end of the show. There's just so many, you know?
We have a lot to come up with during this show.
The column for Vice is called The Hidden Language, and basically how it works is for each column I'll go and I'll hang out with people from a different subculture. And the idea is I'm really fascinated by jargon, like the language that people use. Slang, but I like the kind of slang that comes up where it's a thing that you'd have to talk about all the time, so you create a word for it. So in comics, an example would be a retcon. If you say retcon to someone who doesn't really read comics or doesn't follow movies that well or anything, they wouldn't really know what that means.
Or pull list?
Pull list would be another one. Yeah, where it's a functional thing because we do this so often, we created a word for it.
Or you really Mark Millered that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we invented Mark Miller to explain.
Yeah.
We did.
We created him as a little bit of a heavy-handed message behind it.
Yeah.
Cool. So what was the first subculture?
The first one was kinksters, because I figured...
Kinksters?
What's a kinkster?
Yeah, that's the correct term I learned.
Guy works at Kinko's?
Exactly. Yeah, you got it. So I did collating. I did double-sided.
I don't know what any of those terms are.
I don't know what that means.
Well, kink, as I found out is a shorthand for BDSM, which BDSM stands for like six different words right there. So yeah. It's a shorthand for a shorthand for a shorthand.
Bondage, domination, sadism, masochism.
Those are four of six.
There's two more words that it stands
for?
Yeah,
the D and the S in the middle are dominance and submission. It's a portmanteau acronym.
Zalvin's really into all this stuff.
Yeah, he has a wicked
boner right
now.
If you want to study me for one of your Vice columns, let me know.
I would love to.
Do you want to do a Vice column about people with no middle names?
Yeah, I bet that would get a lot of
so much shorthand.
Yeah. So to do all this research, who'd you talk to? What happened?
I spoke to...
Pete's really...
Well, I'm just wondering if you... Because Zalvin runs a dungeon.
I'm just going to cut to the chase. Did you see any boobs?
I saw pictures.
That's what Pete wants to know. What?
I saw some pictures of boobs, not real life boobs.
Nice. Cool.
I hope to someday see a boob. Feel free to
share those. We're going to put those in our show notes for anyone listening at home. Some photos of breasts.
Well, hey, guys.
We're actually not going to do that.
That's fine. But no, I interviewed Kevin Allison, who you guys probably know. He's a comedian and a storyteller. And
indeed.
He was more than happy to tell. Like, he just told me all of the most terrifying things you could ever imagine and just laughed through it.
He's a real kinky dude.
Let me tell you something.
Also,
nothing
used to
is
be
weird.
The artistic director
Nothing's
at the
weird to me anymore. Whatever Alex picks this week, I'll be like, cool. I bet there's people who are more into that than you could even imagine. Nothing's weird, guys. Don't worry about it.
Nothing's weird.
Did you start with the idea, since you are a big comic book fan, did you start with the idea of going into a comic book subculture, or are you working up to that?
I definitely want to do that as one of the next installments. I was working up to them actually publishing something that I wrote, and now that has happened, as of today, you can go to vice.com and read The Hidden Language. Now that that's actually happened, yeah, definitely a comic book. I mean, there's a few different ways I could do it. We could go with, like, for writers, it could just be for you know, super collectors. So I have to figure out exactly what angle I want to take.
Well, sure. There's a bunch of different subcultures in the culture of comic books.
Especially as it expands and expands, there's a lot of little... I'm more interested in, like, sort of insular niches where people really, you know,
niche.
Where the language hasn't gotten... well, we're speaking English, so I pronounce it niche.
Oh, boy. We have different subcultures here on the show. There's the Alex subculture, Peter J. LePage
subculture. How would you describe the Peter J. LePage subculture?
Oh, it's
where did this J come from?
I mean, comic written in your own shit is sort of a Peter J. LePage.
What? Jesus Christ. I mean, accurate, but Jesus Christ.
What is a word that you guys think comic book fans wouldn't know that we all are totally...
The comic book fans would not know.
I'm sorry, that non-comic book fans would be unaware of. Like, what's, like I said, retcon. Like, what's the kind of stuff that we...
Retcon's very good.
Use? I'm sure it'll come up throughout the
episode. Red Skies event?
What is that? I don't even know what that means.
Really?
Yeah.
Red Skies event is any of DC's big events.
Uh-huh.
They always have, not always, but they used to have this thing where there would be red skies everywhere. I think it started with Crisis on Infinite Earths, where the crossover comic books... Mm-hmm. They'd be like, crossover with Crisis on Infinite Earths. And would have one panel of somebody being like, huh, skies are red. And then they'd go back to the regular adventure.
Okay.
So Red Skies event is anything that's a crossover but doesn't actually really cross over with the main event.
I really like that one. That's good. Pete and Justin, what do you guys got for me?
That is a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was like really specific and hard to beat. And I put you guys on the spot. And
Red
I took retcon.
Well, I mean,
the problem was I was listening, so I wasn't thinking. I was like, oh, man, this sounds awesome. And I was like, oh, shit, I should have been thinking something.
That's a common problem.
Yep.
I often am explaining what a trade paperback is, so I feel like that's something that people don't know the difference between a graphic novel, a pamphlet comic, trade paperback, any of those different ways of reading comics.
I didn't know what penultimate was until we started doing this podcast.
Penultimate. Oh, that's a book. That's a word in the dictionary.
You can also do DC and Marvel. I mean, just defining that for people, because it would be nice if people stopped asking me why Batman isn't on the Avengers.
Well, why not, Alex?
Alex, why don't you
fix
that?
I don't have a good reason.
Did you not read Return to the Amalgam Age of Comics? Because it could happen. Yeah. I've seen it on paper.
Wait, who was the guy? I was trying to, this is apropos of almost nothing. Who was the guy who was the key between the Amalgam Universes? Access? Thank you. That's been bothering me for a week.
Nice. Well,
great.
What happened a week ago?
Yeah. some stuff.
Alex hasn't seen his family in a week. He's been living in Central Park all week, just being screaming at the fucking red sky over here.
All I'm saying, there was a red sky event. Axis showed up, and for a very brief time, I was named Justin J. Zalbin. It was really weird. So
you know what the J stands for?
I know how you feel.
Justin. also.
It stands for
Justin.
Justice. Stands for justice.
Cool.
I'd say that.
Alex, yeah. I couldn't go to sleep last night because I couldn't remember the name of the shrunk down tiger from the Matt Fraction FF run, and I was trying to remember the name, and I couldn't go to sleep until I remembered it, and then I went to sleep.
What was the name?
Cargo Man Shark.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Wow.
Nice. It's a pretty good name.
How about that, trivia heads?
Where can
your
people
mind
check out the Vice column?
Vice.com.
Vice.com.
It's called The Hidden Language, and I assume that if you search that in the search bar of Vice.com, it'll come up.
Cool. That's awesome. Great. Well, very great. Cool. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week. Go to bat for them. First one we're going to talk about is Pete's pick, She-Hulk, number 3 from Marvel Comics. Now, Pete, I think this is a little bit of a non-traditional pick for you. You want to talk about this a bit?
Yeah, what I really like about She-Hulk with the Charles Soule writing.
Charles Schultz.
Yeah, yes. Charles Schultz, the great Charlie Brown.
It's in the Peanuts universe.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
What I really like about this is this kind of, because he is a lawyer and he's writing this comic.
Oh, he, Charles.
Charles, yeah. We have She-Hulk.
She-Hulk is actually not writing the comic.
No, I think she is. She's writing her own adventures.
Right. Yeah.
Guys, I'm looking at the first page, and she's talking directly
to me. She's talking directly to him. Like, why? What do you think? Charles Schultz, he's just the guy that literally moves the pen across.
Stop saying Charles Schultz.
So it's written by She-Hulk, moved by Charles Schultz.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good creative team.
That's why there's a whole football, like, Dr. Doom does not kick the football in this.
Yeah. Right. Right.
What I like about this, though, is we're dealing with the kind of duality of right and wrong, but also how it's heightened with when someone is a superhero.
Who are you?
What the fuck?
So
wait
it's
a
like,
second.
So I just like this idea of, like, if you're working for the law or in the realm of law and you have the kind of supernatural powers, like, does that eat at you? And what was cool was She-Hulk went all the way to San Fran to talk to Daredevil about this, and they had, like, a really cool discussion about it, and I feel like she makes the right choice. And then there was, like, an amazing moment between Dr. Doom and his son, which you wouldn't ever expect. And then
this is the most verbose and well-spoken you've
I was going to say, you're talking.
Yeah, let's ruin it.
You're talking, but all I'm hearing is. That's it. I don't know.
Two different takes. I feel like you prepared those words. Great job, Pete.
This is a great book. It's fantastic. The art is fantastic. The writing is fantastic. It's a ton of fun. I was really surprised that it followed up on the last issue, which also dealt with the Son of Doom. And it shows the other side of it, and really enjoyable. We had Charles Soule on the show. Charles Schultz. We had Charles Schultz on the show. It was weird. We had Charles Soule on the show before or after the first issue came out?
It was right before.
Right before. And he has really gotten an incredible handle on this book and working with the artist. It's Javier Pulido, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I imagining that? Okay.
No, you're right.
Since the first issue, they're working as an incredible team by now, and it's fantastic to see.
I got
to
say, they really. I think they really explore the duality of right. Oh, did Pete already cover this? Never mind. I guess we've already handled it.
I know I have a tendency to harp on these things, but my favorite part about this book is the colorist. I think this is one of the better colored books coming out right now. I mean, I think it's obvious that Marvel, in the all-new Marvel Now initiative, let's say, has basically was like, well, how can we make every book like Daredevil or Hawkeye?
Yeah.
But that's a good thing in a lot of ways because those books are, like, big surprise. People might want to read a book about one character that doesn't rope in a million other characters you don't know about and might just follow one person's adventures. But also, I mean, it's also allowed them to put out a lot of really interesting stylized books that don't all look the same, and they're really letting the visual art teams have a lot of leeway with what kind of style books they're putting out. And I really like this book. I like how it looks.
It's great.
I wanted to jump in on that, actually. We're going to talk about another book that's exactly like that in a second. But
what?
Particularly
there
this...
There isn't another book.
Hold on. But this week, I was so struck by how the solo books coming out of Marvel are
this
so...
This is solo week,
it's
by
insanely different. I mean, just this is looking over the stuff that I bought over the past week. But Black Widow, Hulk, Iron Fist, Loki, Magneto... Ultimate Comics, Spider-Man, Moon Knight, Punisher, She-Hulk, Silver Surfer. They're all such incredibly looking different, looking and feeling books. It's amazing what's coming out of that publisher right now.
Yeah.
And they don't connect to some uber overarching story either. You can jump in on any title and get right in there.
It really is the Hawkeye model, I think, that's been fun. And I think this book specifically is sort of out-Hawkeyeing Hawkeye right now. I feel like it's...
Whoa. That's bold.
Because it's coming out.
I think this is a Daredevil. I think this
well,
book
you're,
might be,
you're literally
Daredevil
looking at Daredevil,
Daredevil
right now. On
okay,
the page.
Well, that is all right, but that's true. So I'll give you that. No, but this is a book. It's covered more like Javier Rodriguez's colors, and it's about a lawyer.
Okay, well, law aside, I think though this is more about her adventures, where she's a little bit down and out.
It's not Javier Rodriguez. It's Munsta on colors.
She's a little
bit... I know, but I'm saying it's similar to Rodriguez who colors. No,
this
there
is colored by Peppermint Patty, I believe.
And Munsta is a great name.
But I think this is about someone sort of down and out trying to figure out their lives. Like, it's less... Daredevil, I feel like, is more of a different sort of propulsion or direction to the series, and this is more Hawkeye style, I think.
Yeah. I see that. I guess I'm thinking more of that the first arc of Daredevil, where he's coming back from everyone thinks they know who he is, and it's sort of him avoiding his own problems for like the early one that was Paolo Rivera illustrated. You guys remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a subculture or something like that, this conversation right here, that's all.
Totally.
Also, I'd just like to point out, Zelvin said Punisher, and...
he did say the word Punisher, which is an open door for you to scream.
Yeah, so the Punisher is... it's amazing. I want to talk about something else.
Okay, well then, why are you bringing up an ex-girlfriend or an ex-pick in the middle of your stack?
The Punisher's not my ex, you son of a bitch.
Guys,
the Punisher is your ex.
No, it is not my ex.
Then why are you hanging out with She-Hulk?
I have a question about She-Hulk.
Why are you hanging out with both of them?
Why are you taking She-Hulk to the prom?
Why are you two-timing?
You're two-timing. You're taking She-Hulk to the prom.
You don't step out on your man.
And the Punisher's at home alone.
He is not.
Sad, dealing with the Electro.
He's got a dog now.
Watching America's Next Top
Model. It's a coyote. That's how it shows how much you don't know. It's a coyote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you need to spend a little more time tending to your real relationship.
Punisher's the one with a skull on his shirt and he shoots guns. Maybe you don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe you've forgotten.
You're ridiculous. All right, let's talk about...
No, Punisher's the one with the Hawkeye logo on his shirt.
Oh, boy. Magneto number 3. This is Justin's pick.
Yeah.
Also from Marvel Comics.
Very apropos us talking about The Punisher, because this book is out-punishing The Punisher.
Wow. That's not true.
We're hype men, essentially, if you don't know. No, but this book is Magneto's solo adventures. He's hunting down different, sententinel, sort of human-sentinel hybrids that are chasing after some mutants that he found.
Yeah, just very quickly, we talked about this with the first issue, but if you like the section in X-Men First Class where Magneto is going after Nazis, that's basically what this is.
Yes, except he's shaved his head and he's very mad.
Oh, man, that is so fucking awesome.
He doesn't have the fun Professor X sidebars in this.
No, not so much.
There's a series of sequences in this where he is just torturing people, and it is dark and fucked up, and it's really great.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, if you like, and Punisher also came out this week. This is a more of a Punisher book than Punisher, I think.
Well, that particular issue of Punisher, but you can't say that in like.
I think you can say
general
that.
Terms.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, all right. That issue.
He takes a paperclip.
I know. It was amazing.
He does a bunch of stuff with a paperclip that I've thought of and tried, but I don't have...
He collates papers with his mind.
Oh man. He's a real collator.
He's a real kinko.
But that last panel where he's like... It's like just getting closer on his face. Like, it's unbelievable.
So did you like this book, Pete?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah.
But so... You think this is better than The Punisher?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
But he's being more punishy.
He's punishing people.
I'm looking at people getting punished right now.
He's punishing people.
There's punishment on every page.
But it's Magneto. It's Magneto getting back to Magneto.
There's a lot of
getting
back
to happy Magneto. I just want to point something out. In this book, Magneto really seems to be punishing people, but over in The Punisher, he's using magnets.
Yeah, it's a little weird. He's doing a lot.
That's a little strange.
Oh, I hate you all.
I think.
So, Pete, why don't you reconcile? I mean, you used to date The Punisher, so why don't you tell us about it? Until you broke up with him and started dating She-Hulk.
Oh, my God, I hate you.
Nat, what do you think about this book?
I really like this book. I think it's one of the better, like, I mean, I think, like I said, I think that all these solo books coming out are a really good direction for Marvel to go. I don't think that they're all amazing. Like, I'm been reading Black Widow, and I like it, but I'm sort of waiting for, like, the whole thing is she's like, I've done terrible things, and I'm, you know, I'm paying penance for them. I'm, like, making it up. And you never really kind of get a sense of, like, what the struggle is with her, and as a result, I don't really care.
I agree with you. Actually, those books seem like they're each issue is like a long intro sequence to some sort of feature film that we never see.
Yeah, like, but we can talk about Black Widow. But this, I feel like this book is like the opposite. Like in this book, it's like here's Nazi, like here's Poland during the rule of the Nazis. Like here's his friend gets shot in the head. Like it's really clear where the morality comes from, or like where the struggle comes from. Like it's a much darker, much more. I mean, the fact that it's grounded in real world, like historical events. I've always said that that's why Magneto is one of the best supervillains, is because like it's much more. He has a real reason. And then, but like in issue two, you see that flashback where his friend sort of like aids the Nazis and gets killed anyway. And then he, Magneto, in the present time, does that to another person. And you know, on the other hand, he's not a Nazi, and the person he is fighting is like, you know, an anti-mutant bigot. But at the same time, it's like you. It's a like a much more interesting moral exercise when you see him kind of slipping and becoming this monster.
This book makes me uncomfortable reading it. Like morally, it's and even in this book, he's like, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, well, it's really real. Yeah, which is the thing. Yeah.
In this issue, I mean, there's such an interesting art choice that's made too, where the main antagonist is this lady who seems pretty nice. And
yeah,
she's
like a
drawn,
nice lady.
Like she has a ponytail, and she seems perky and happy. And in any other book,
people with ponytails.
Hold on.
People?
All I'm saying, in any other book, the way she's drawn and the way her character is depicted, she'd be like the best girl who's helping solve the mystery or something like this.
I
and
agree
here,
with you completely.
Magneto,
she's like a Carly Cooper from Spider-Man. She's
exactly.
like exactly
and here,
that character.
Magneto brutally murders her, like straight like, up rips
rough.
Her to shreds, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
And I want you to remember that when we talk about our next pick.
I mean, this book is dark, but you're fucked up.
Fucked up, man.
Nailbiter number one from Image Comics.
Nobody's clapping.
I'm going to show guys in the audience.
Justin Zalbin's pick.
Here's the cover to Nailbiter number one.
It's a person.
It's pretty gruesome.
Zalbin, what's happened to you?
Okay, what happened to me is you guys.
Darkly.
But this is a great book. This is about the genesis of a serial killer, or perhaps a town that is the genesis of multiple serial killers. It's obviously extremely dark, but it's really well drawn, really well written. There's complicated characters. I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. What did you guys think?
I thought it was really fucked up. It's a hell of a page turner, even though you don't kind of want to turn the page. It's also like there's so much fucked up shit. I almost wish he would stop and deal with each one instead of letting them go by. Like he goes in this place, it's called the murder shop, and the guy's obviously like the worst person ever, but it's like, let's go to the next place. It's like, deal with this.
Most people, Pete, actually don't, when they go into a store, they don't think, I should kill this person.
No, not kill them, but if you're a cop, maybe I should talk to this guy or run some fingerprints or call him in or something just to double check, because this is fucking creepy as shit. Then he's in the car and he looks out and there's like a guy standing in a grave. Well, let's keep driving. What? No, that guy obviously just killed somebody. And then it's like, oh, we're on to the next crazy person. Nope. And then finally we get what I liked about this issue was the real fucked up beginning. Then you get it again at the end just to remind you how fucked up it was. And then you have to relive it. And then it just lets you sit there at the end. I'm like, Jesus, this fucking comic.
What did you think about it, Justin?
I thought it was so the premise is sort of this. There's this town in Oregon,
Maine.
I think it's Oregon that is where a bunch of serial killers, like too many serial killers, come from this one town.
Right.
And I feel like it takes a while to get into that premise. I feel like I sort of want that right away, but otherwise I thought it was cool.
It got it at like the fifth or sixth page.
No, but it's like sort of it's just like this and that, and then they finally like get into this like 16 people came from this town.
Yeah, it's not that long into the first issue where they
established.
Want it to be like
time is precious.
Here's what you want. You want one page right at the beginning. They're like, here's the entire story. Now we're gonna tuck you in.
I want someone
give you
to
some cold milk.
I like warm milk actually.
Okay.
Gross. Before you go to bed,
gross.
Warmed milk right straight from the cow's teat.
He is from afar.
Yeah, I grew up in the country.
That's super nice.
What do you do? Do you want to talk to him about his subculture? Where he sucks stuff from anything.
Yeah, you can talk to farmhands. That's a subculture.
No, I would do that.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I think I haven't read this book.
By the way, are we still talking about Nailbiter?
No,
I was wondering if you're looking forward to the subculture of people who are going to pitch you ideas of articles.
It's already begun, and I'm immersed in it now. So.
Great.
Nice.
We'll tell you about Teeth
Nailbiter.
Nailbiter. Yeah, I haven't read this, and I assume that it is probably somewhat creepy because Pete's creeped out by it.
Yeah.
But I will also point out, Pete, that your favorite comic book is about a guy who senselessly murders people.
Not and, senselessly.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. We're all
for
supposed
justice.
To... Okay, yeah, yeah, exactly. But the tone of that book is like, here's a guy pursuing what he thinks is justice, and... Because it's a foregone conclusion that he has a just mission, yeah, it's okay if he shoots a criminal in the head who like, maybe didn't go to trial or something just because he was like involved in a bigger crime.
Right.
And we're all supposed to just go like, his family got shot at a picnic or something or whatever. Well, my point being like that book is told with this sort of ingrained morality where it's like, it's fine if he kills people because of his family like died in the 60s or something.
Wasn't
or
like they
it
OD'd
happened.
On drugs.
I know, I know, but it's like it's just
they
this
were
ongoing...
murdered in front of him.
Yeah, but
they,
like, they many... all died of old age.
My point being, how many people have we seen murdered in the name of justice in a Punisher comic? He's a serial killer,
right?
But we're all. But the book is told where it's like he's the hero. It's just grim and gritty. We're supposed to like that,
right? We are. We all do like.
So
this.
I mean,
where's the question?
No, my point is the reason
you're just explaining to me the Punisher. We all know what the fucking Punisher.
Well,
is.
Isn't the Punisher Whoa. Creepier than a book that? Actually addresses the fact that there's something psychologically going on with murderers. Like, I think it's creepier to look at a book that's this guy killed someone. You don't even care reading it. How fucked up is that?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're taking that point of view, yeah. I mean, if you want to peel back
and
really dissect the possibility that this guy is just a fucked up dude, sure, yeah. But
well,
we also have,
that,
like...
No, I want to hear the but.
Yeah, we're going to get to a good butt here.
But we also have a person who is literally eating people, and it's just a clear...
Is that your line, if the Punisher started eating criminals?
I don't mean
I think he's comparing...
I don't mean
he's
to
saying
attack
like
the Punisher. Like, I'm just using that as a counterexample. I'm just saying, like, you can write something... You don't have to be a creep to write something about... Like, think about, like, about creepy people. Like, think about, like, that Sandman story that's about the serial killers convention. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's one of the scariest things I've ever read, but it's really
that's
well
probably,
written.
Wait, they probably have that.
That's
what you wrote that?
Oh, I wrote that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was
okay,
nine.
Cool.
Wow, what a review.
You're welcome.
Can I just make a suggestion for a book? What about Punisher's War Cookbook? That would be kind of cool, right? Where he, like, writes down recipes for criminals.
I bet
stuff.
He eats a lot of gazpacho on the road.
You think?
Because you don't have to heat it up.
Like, it's cold.
I'm gonna. How about Punisher's Dream Journal? Figure out what's going on with that guy.
Uh-huh.
Punisher's Dream Catcher.
All right, I like that.
Based on the Stephen King book.
Original Sin came out, Original Sin number one came out this week as well, in which the Punisher is sort of featured. And I found that to be sort of a weird, like they're gathering heroes to come to investigate the death of the Watcher. And they're like, let's get the Punisher. I was like, what?
Well, it's the Punisher teamed up with Dr. Strange, right?
Yeah, well, they're the two that are going to go off on a little
that's
bit.
That's a buddy cop comedy.
Bring
I'd
me
watch.
Everyone with a logo on their shirt. that's a hero, right?
Yeah. But to me, that read like, there's no reason the Punisher and Doctor Strange need to be doing.
You
would have
watched a show called Strange and Castle.
Strange and Castle?
Well,
Frank and
like
Castle.
Oh, stop! Work that.
I think that's it for the stack.
Hey, what about my
guys?
Pick?
You had a pick, right?
What about my pick?
Yeah, not interested. All right. Yeah. No, actually, I am interested.
I wanted to show you guys. I was going to pick Moon Knight because it's fantastic and probably the best example of the solo book and them giving people their own stylized run, but that's not my pick. My pick is Andre the Giant, Life and Legend by Box Brown. If you guys want to take a look.
Oh, wow.
This guy has, this is Box Brown, this is the longest book he's ever done, I think. He's been putting out just really well-constructed and made mini-comics that are, you know, like $5 to $10. And I found them on, like, the rack of some shop years ago. He wrote this book called Bad High School Poetry, and just about, like, sort of disaffected kids in high school or who are going into high school, I guess, from middle school. And he does a really good job of, like, sort of showing people in transitionary periods in their lives
This book is a little different. It's the first nonfiction thing he's done, and that's obviously writing about a wrestler where all the half the information is like apocryphal is still sort of fictional. But this is his first attempt at something like a biography. And I actually think that he's sometimes a little better when he's showing characters who are really despicable. And this book is a little reverent. But it's also like a really ambitious attempt. It spans his entire life. I think it starts when he's 12 and goes to his death. And it sort of changes modes. There's one part where it's just these like several pages that are the anatomy of a wrestling match. And he breaks down what everyone's doing. And apparently he like frame by framed it on VHS or whatever. However he had it available to him. And then there's a lot that's character-based stuff. And the really interesting part of the book, I think, is, you know, before wrestling was legally required to say that it was fake to avoid the sports tax, they were trying so hard to keep everyone from knowing that it was fake that people within the business were faking each other out so that, like, no one really knew what was going on except for, like, the most successful people. So in order to write this book, he had to sort out which stories were lies to the public, which stories were wrestlers lying to each other. Like, there's a part in there where two wrestlers get into a fight, and it's really hard to know whether they had planned it all along or whether one of them was actually angry at the other one. So it's like a really interesting, mostly nonfiction book.
That's very cool.
This is amazing.
It's rare. I know you really sprung this on us. It's rare to see a pull quote from Mandy Patinkin on a comic book.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
He's got a lot of good press quotes there on the back, but. Yeah. I think Mick Foley's also on the front. But
Mick
then
Foley,
they go all
there's a lot of... But Mandy Patinkin, man, that guy, he just says a giant of
there's
a man.
There's also some great stuff from Princess Bride in there.
Yeah, there's a whole sequence where he's in Princess Bride. There's a whole part about how Samuel Beckett used to drive him to school because they lived in the same tiny town in France, and he couldn't fit in the school bus, so Samuel Beckett drove him to school in a pickup truck.
What did they talk about, you think?
You'll have to read Andre the Giant, Life and Legend by Box Brown to find out.
All right, that's a good plug. And that's for real. That's it for the stack.
Yeah.
And now, guys, we're going to move with our next section, audience questions.
Woo-hoo!
And for that, we're going to go over to you guys. So if you got a question about anything, you're going to get some free comics, so think about it now. It could be about comic books, about geeky stuff, things specifically for people up here, like what Pete's middle name is or whatever. Raise your hand. You, sir, right over there. I'm going to come over to you. You're going to ask a question. You're going to get some free comics.
Cool. So when you guys were talking about Magneto, how do you think it, in a couple of years, 10, say about 10 years or so,
10
are you
going
to deal with...
Two to 10 years from now.
2024.
Like, let's say in 2024.
Think we'll still be here?
How do you think the Magneto origin is going to work? Because unlike Captain America, who's frozen, Magneto is going to be like 100.
Magneto is already like 87. Like, we flash back to Warsaw in 1942, and he's got to be at least 10 years old in that. And really, it looks like he's like 15. So it's... in the Uncanny X-Men, they've been drawing him as like a frail old man. He's like butch in this book.
One of the toughest things about updating his origin is the last genocide we had in the world was the Holocaust. And
there's no other place he could
be. Never happened
from.
Again. So was that a little too...
what's your point?
I'm just saying, you're waiting for something, guys, to what's going on in the world. That's all.
I just want us to talk about.
No, but they can't be like, actually, he was in South Africa, or actually, it was Argentina in the 70s. Like, they can't
I just don't think the rest move him over. Are you going to have a problem with the fact that this guy is very old when he has magnet powers?
Well, but I mean, I think... Yeah. Well, they could just set his origin at Comic-Con, like when no one gets their badges. He could just be on the outside of that, just getting his... That's sort of like the Holocaust.
First they came for the one-day pass holders.
Exactly.
And I said nothing.
Like, and he's like, no, yeah.
I agree that's a big problem, because what I love about Magneto is, like I said, it's like, you know, a lot of these are supervillains are delusions of grandeur, which is hard to relate to, and his is like a never-again story. Like, he saw it happen once, and he found out he was part of this other people, and he's, you know, fought against... bigotry ever since, rather violently, but like, it is going to be a problem because he's not like the original Human Torch. He's not a robot. He wasn't frozen like the Winter Soldier or Captain America.
I mean,
at some point he's going to be like 105.
If it's not a problem, like when I read this comic, that doesn't trip me up. Even though he does even talk about it, like that doesn't bother me. It's like stories. Like, it's not like people are going back and like, when, like, well, the Bible, like Jesus, like. I don't
but
know.
I think it's different
like,
for
it
us.
It rained more that year.
But
he
we
be.
Grew up with like grandparents who have memories of World War II, right? Like, so it's not going to be different for us, but for new readers, in like he said, 10 years. What about in 20 years when the last Holocaust survivor is dead?
Well, but I have
what
a feeling
there's 100 years.
I have a feeling they're still going to be teaching World War II in old high school.
This is true. I'm just saying it will have the
I
same
I feel like most
cultural,
people are getting their reference. History from grandpa sitting around being like,
you are from the country World and War you II. Didn't get your history from a grandpa's name?
I mean, it was. He was a teacher at the time, and he was like, World War II, Nazis. And then that was the end of the whole lesson.
Yeah. Justin actually learned at a cow's teat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sweet, sweet lesson.
So it'll be fine, I guess, is the answer.
I'm
guessing it's like they're going to be like legacy formula or something. It turns out his mutant power is also aging at one third the speed.
I mean, I think, like to your point, I think it'll be a Band-Aid as opposed to saying like, nope, it took place in the Iraq War or something.
Yeah, I mean,
like
he's too great of a character to not do just because of, oh, shit, how do we do this part, you know?
Yeah. There you go. That kind of answered
your
question.
So a lazy answer.
Yeah.
Next question, please. Who wants some free comics? You, sir, over there. I'm going to come over to you. I'm going to ask you a question, and you are going to get some free comics. Nice Harmontown shirt.
Why, thank you. She-Hulk, Magneto, Nailbiter, Kill, Marry, Fuck.
Oh, boy.
Kill, Marry, Fuck.
It's interesting that you said Kill, Marry, Fuck instead of Fuck, Marry, Kill. It's just interesting that kill comes first in your mind.
Well, sorry, that's his sexual
preference. It was She-Hulk, Magneto, and what was it?
Nailbiter.
Yeah, oh, of our three picks.
You got to kill Nailbiter because he'll
kill
you.
Can we include Andre the Giant?
Right afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say you
got
to kill Nailbiter, right?
Yeah, you got
Because otherwise you're nail bitten.
Yeah, you're
your nails,
up
right? Man.
I don't know. That turns me on.
Fuck
Magneto, because as we've established, he's not going to live that long. He's pretty old.
That's you don't know how to.
So
play
what?
This
you
game.
Just want to give
not
him
the basis.
Like,
well,
the
I don't
game.
Want to start a relationship with a guy who's going to die any second.
Oh, yeah, you don't
want
to be like,
I
an
want
heir
somebody,
to his like.
I want somebody who's going to be there for me. I can grow old with.
Okay.
So
cool.
I think we agree then. Marry She-Hulk because she's got a job. She's got consistent income.
Yeah.
I don't. I need. I'm, what you think? Vice Magazine is giving me a 401k.
I need
that She-Hulk pension.
She-Hulk doesn't have money right now. She's living in a Brooklyn
building.
Yeah,
but she's got a degree far more impressive than anything I've got.
Yo, have you? There are too many lawyers right now in our modern world.
That's true,
no
but
jobs.
Look, she can afford to rent in Dumbo, all right? She's doing okay.
She's renting in comic book Dumbo. So, figure that out.
Cool. Any disagreements here? Or we,
no,
hold
we're
up.
On
wait,
the same
wait.
Page.
What did we land on?
So, we all wanted to have sex with Andre the Giant. Is that where we landed?
Fuck Magneto and married She-Hulk.
Yeah, I'd kill Nailbiter.
No.
No, Justin wants his nails bitten. We went through
fuck Nailbiter.
What?
Because he nasty, right?
Yo, I nasty.
Oh, he nasty.
Oh, my God. What just happened?
Marry Magneto because he's going to be around. He's been around. And he's going to be around.
What?
He's got
what
some
does
good
that mean?
Stories. He's been around the world. He's like, he knows
that's a reason to marry somebody?
Plus,
because
yeah.
the world.
Well, you
want
to marry someone you can
did you,
talk
I'm sorry,
to, right?
Did you go to a puppet show and you're like, I'm going to marry that guy?
Wait, a puppet
I
show?
Don't see the
this is the first thing I thought of that had stories. I'm sorry.
Oh, puppet wow. shows?
A puppet show?
I yeah, think
what
meant,
year
like,
are
stories,
you from?
Like real world experience.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, sorry. Alex Zalvin's a European boy from like the 18th century who gets his news from the
wait,
local.
Okay. Justin, did you go to
the
town
Punch and Judy show?
Okay, fuck a puppet show, marry that hoop with a stick thing,
yeah,
and
yeah.
kill
the bicycle,
bicycle
with
the
one
big
wheel.
A penny farthing.
Wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. We have a strong connection. Kill She-Hulk.
What?
Why?
I'd like
what
to
you
see
just
you
say?
Try, Justin Tyler.
What has She-Hulk ever done to you?
She was the last one left.
Yeah,
that's
but why
awful.
Would you kill her? Dude?
We're all against
her. I don't know. That's the rules of this fucked up game.
Great. Thanks for your murder game, asshole.
Yes, yeah. Seriously. This
who else? Free comics. Raise your hand. Yes, you all the way in the back. Come up here because these microphones don't stretch far.
Because these microphones.
Hey, what's the name of the guy who imprisons the Avengers in Avengers Arena?
Arcade.
Okay, that's what you just did
we'll
to
handle
us. Your
this.
Arcade.
So allegedly the first picture of Batman in his new suit came out today.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Just wondering what are your thoughts on it.
Sure.
Good question.
Ben Affleck is Batman.
Yes, yesterday Zack Snyder.
Or is it just his chin who's Batman?
Yeah, yeah. They cut off Ben Affleck's chin and put it in a suit.
That's a lot of
stuff. They were like, kill Ben Affleck, fuck the suit, marry the car.
Marry the chin.
But it's definitely like an old school, like it's got the thick, you know, bat symbol on the, and it's like a, you know, old, and it's got the smaller ears.
Yeah, yeah, tiny ears. I thought it was a cool shot. I liked it.
You know, I hated, this is a context, I hated Man of Steel. It drives me nuts. Hate that movie. Can't stand that movie. But
I recently rewatched it, and it's worse.
Really?
If you rewatch it.
It's worse
than it. But here's the deal. If you want somebody who can take down that asshole Superman, you want a crazy jacked Batman, and that's exactly what we got.
Well, but I feel like, and maybe we're all reading
a
little.
Did anybody else think the suit had, like, veins on it? Did you see that?
It did. Well, it was all scratched up.
Yeah.
I also think the idea is blood to his nipples.
The idea is that this suit has been through a little bit of wear and tear because it's an older Batman.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I do think that that's awesome. That's a good addition to it, especially because Man of Steel is so, rewatching it, so, like, smarmy and so just, like, Superman gets more and more unlikable, I feel like, on second viewing. I'm definitely going to be rooting for Batman in the Superman movie.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Is that messed
up? I'm always rooting for Batman.
Do we even know for sure that they're I mean, okay, it's a crossover, so they're going to fight at first, and then they're going to realize that they're both friends, and then they're going to take down the other thing.
They're
going
to fight that terrible Wonder Woman.
There's going to be like a thing where they see
not.
Each other.
Yeah,
that would
be great if they,
if
the two of them
doing.
Team up to kill a woman, and they're like, "We won!
Classic,
we did it!
Classic DC!
Yay!" Yeah, that would be great. Yes, they are fighting in the movie. One of the executives did float the title actually of Superman versus Batman, which is that.
And also
obviously.
With Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and also Wonder
and
Woman.
I help.
And Aquaman.
Well,
and
no, it's Superman versus Batman. There's going to be like a glass ceiling, and then Wonder Woman's going to be right underneath it. That's the actual full title.
You know what?
Of the movie.
You know what the poster should be? The poster should be Wonder Woman's legs like this, and Superman and Batman are looking at her legs with sunglasses. Like,
yeah, like ay.
Is that weird science that you're doing right now?
It's every 80s movie poster. Yeah. That would be amazing.
I think.
Well,
the
sad fact is that Wonder Woman will probably be somehow sidelined in this movie.
Probably, yeah, definitely. We're still trying to figure out how to get her into a movie.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Pete?
I was just going to say it's probably like Batman passed out and everybody's like taped their arms, you know, like the Weekend of Bernie. So.
That's what you want the poster to be?
Weekend of Batman's?
Yeah, Weekend of Batman's.
I think it'd be funnier if it's Superman, like, because we've already established him, and then it's like, who's going to save us now? And Wonder Woman and Batman have to Bernie's him.
Oh,
I don't
nice.
Know. I feel like Batman's more of a Jonathan Silverman type.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll give you that.
Wow. You guys know what I'm
so we do
about,
like
right?
The new bat suit, to answer your question.
Yeah, yes. We love
what about, very quickly, what about the Batmobile? Because they also showed off the new Batmobile.
We've seen so much of it.
It reminds me of the Michael Keaton kind of Batmobile a little bit.
A little bit like the animated series one, too.
Yeah,
right? It's got that sort of long, flat.
Yeah.
I liked it well enough. I like
it's an older Batman.
They are
car.
Both inoffensive, to answer the question.
Yeah.
There you go. I just hope they can reattach Ben Affleck's chin. That's
yeah,
the only
I hope
thing
so.
I'm hoping for.
That's the real
question. Cool. I think we can take...
What voice do you think he's going to... You think he's going to be more like...
Hello,
I'm
Batman.
Oh, really?
He's gonna do a strong.
Check out me mobile.
I thought
it was gonna be more like I'm the night.
He's gonna be playing his character from Mallrats, the guy that works at Fashionable Male.
Yeah.
That's the voice and character he's gonna be playing as Bruce Wayne.
The back of a Volkswagen.
Huh? Good scoop.
Yeah, it's a scoop right there, guys.
Yeah. You know what would be hilarious actually is if Ben Affleck was actually dressed as the car. He was dressed as the Batmobile, and he's not dressed in the Batman suit as well.
Oh, I think that in the movie, Batman turns into the Batmobile. Sort
right,
of like
he does.
That,
it's
that,
a Transformers that, movie, right?
Well, no, that cartoon from the late 80s, early 90s, where the kid gets wet and he turns into a car.
Wait, I don't know that one.
What?
Someone surely must know what this is.
Oh, I know
he gets wet. And
it's turns... called like Carteen or something like that.
No, it's not.
Hold on. I don't have my phone on me, Pete.
I'm sorry, just real quick.
Take one more question.
Were you watching were you watching Gremlins and Transformers on
it's
two
honestly,
TVs
yo,
at the same
this
time?
Is now a
first off,
called
shut
cartoon.
The fuck up. Second off, wait a second. Because you guys are going to about...
All right, I'll sell you this car.
Why does getting wet turn him into a car?
I'll tell you in a minute.
I'll sell you this car. Just don't get it wet after midnight.
No, it's any time he gets wet.
Not after midnight? Don't feed the car after midnight.
That seems inconvenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. He couldn't drink any water.
Yeah, so his car. So this kid just gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier over the course of the series?
And thirstier.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if they weren't looking at the long term.
Yeah, I guess the main dialogue of the show is,
I don't know, he's not finding it.
Hold on, I got to check my search terms.
Oh, you're telling me searching car teen didn't...
or what?
I'm sorry, are you searching car teen wet? Because you're gonna find something entirely different.
Hold on, I'll be back with you guys in
what
a couple
car?
Minutes.
Well, Justin's out
it
for
was
the
called,
rest of the
show,
hey,
guys. You motherfuckers.
All right, well, you keep looking for
it
that.
It was called Turbo Teen, and it was an animated series about a teenager with the ability to literally transform into a sports car. It aired on Saturday mornings on the ABC network from 1984 to 1985.
Yeah.
And then it was later part of the now-defunct USA Cartoon Express, which is when I watched it because I'm not that old. And as a kid, he gains the ability to morph into a car when exposed to extreme heat. Heat, not water. So he overheated because sometimes he was about to kiss a girl and he would turn into a car and he would run her over.
So what happened?
I don't think that happened.
That didn't happen, but that's what I
made up. Like 8% less stupid than the way you actually described it.
Great.
Thank you for saying less. They only made 13 episodes.
Yep. Oh, boy.
And the Shocker. Villain was called Dark Rider. So, buckle up, coming soon to you, written by the host of Comic Book Club, Turbo Teen, the feature.
Amazing. Great. That definitely answered your question, I'm sure. I think we take one more question if anybody wants some free comics. Anybody? Real quick, last question, one last question going now. Yes, you, sir, over there. Come on up for your question and free comics. I'll come to you, actually.
Thank you, Alex. What is the best non-Batmobile car?
Ooh.
Great question.
I think we already answered it. Turbo Teen.
Yeah.
From the upcoming Tyler comic.
I don't know if Turbo Teen has had a long career as a comic book character.
No? All right.
Well, what other cars are there?
Well, there's the Spider-Man-mobile.
Yeah. The Arrow car.
The Fantastic car.
I don't remember what that looks like.
Fantastic car? Yeah. It changes shape a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it all, they're always in some kind of floating
steel cylinder?
The
weird thing
cylinder.
I think about the Fantastic car is they all ride, often they all ride in separate compartments, so they can't really talk to each other.
Yeah.
Because it's too windy.
You don't think that they have like an intercom set up in there? They couldn't rig something like that
According
up?
To the comic, they're always shouting at each other, because they're usually flying to fight someone, and they're always like, I got this one.
They have a lot of like convertibles, I feel like.
They're getting
bugs
in their teeth.
Yeah, they drive around in a lot of things that have, like in space, that have no roof.
I don't know about space because there's. I don't know what you know about space, but they say no one can hear you scream up there.
Okay.
So it was the
Fantastic car then. Would you say that's the best car?
Are there other cars? There was a period where everybody had a car, right? And a sidekick,
right.
And a
yeah. Superman has a car.
Superman ever have a car?
I'm almost
100%. He had like a Lexus,
sure.
though, or something.
Sure, probably
like,
when it was electric blue or something.
Yeah, no, he just had a regular Lexus. Yeah. That would sync up to his iPhone, so he didn't have to like export his.
Yeah,
that's
what
really
need
cool.
I keep just thinking of the turtle van.
That's a fine answer. Yeah. That van was cool.
Punisher's van, the one that Microchip lived in?
I mean, that was just like a shitty van. I don't know how
It was a shitty van full of guns.
Well, yeah.
And Microchip. Shitty.
How about this?
Again, clearly you've broken up with the Punisher because he's shitting all over his life.
No.
Like, his car's fine.
What about that tricked out RV that Captain America drove around in the Captain America movie from, like, the early 90s? Did you guys not see that?
No, I've definitely
seen
that movie.
When if Captain America got wet, he turned into an RV? I remember that.
Yeah, with a lot of compartments.
It was a weird
time. It was
time
pretty cool, guys, when I saw it on VHS when I was homesick that one day.
Awesome. I mean, the coolest vehicle is Ghost Rider's motorcycle.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I don't know if you guys have been reading the new Ghost Rider series.
Yes.
Wait, the one where
it's
a fucking car?
It's awesome. That is a cool car.
Nope.
Did I say that in the lamest way possible?
You
did.
Like, you've never even seen a
car.
Boy,
that's a cool car.
Wait, why are you shitting on the car?
God, because it's not a motorcycle.
Oh, cool. What do you drive?
I don't have it either.
Oh, so you ride a Ghost Rider subway?
Yeah, I do.
A flaming wheeled subway?
Yep.
So why are you shitting on the car, bro?
I just, for me, Ghost Rider has a motorcycle. So when they came with the car, I was just like, nope.
You can still ride a car.
So if you were a Ghost Rider, would you ride a Ghost subway, a Ghost metro bus, or Ghost sneakers?
Always a motorcycle.
Okay, cool. Right, you've never been.
But
on
I think
a
we're overlooking like probably the best vehicle.
Go on.
Voltron. I mean,
all
that
right,
was
okay,
a ride.
Fair point.
That was, you know, four separate. I mean, that's still kind of a ride.
Five separate.
Yeah.
It's a vehicle. It's shaped like a lion.
Yeah. That's true. Though I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to follow their adventures outside of that vehicle. I wouldn't want to see them getting lunch.
You would or you would not?
Would
not.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, all they ever did was ride around in Voltron.
I guess. I don't know. There was a series called Voltron Year One that was really good.
Really good.
Where they were just drawing a line.
No, it was awesome. It was this whole political intrigue spy thing.
That's a real thing?
It's a real thing. It's a real comic book series that came out. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he was all about it.
Yeah, I was all up in that.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, cool. Cars.
Oh, I like that.
I think we answered that question.
Huh?
I think we answered that question. That's it for your audience questions. All right, guys, we're going to move to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right, very quickly, we're going to hit up some topics. We got one sentence to say about each of them. Channing Tatum, cast as Gambit in a solo Gambit movie. What do you think?
Boo.
Stupid.
No one says Cajun like Channing Tatum.
Cool. All right. Next thing, Constantine trailer. Constantine officially picked up at NBC. Pete, I know you're pretty high on this.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing trailer. I couldn't believe how much I loved it.
Really? So
and
you're
I don't
fully
really
on board?
Like the guy, but oh my God, it really looks amazing.
Holy shit, Pete loves that? That's amazing. That's a real surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does look like some crazy special effects from the trailer. I had no sense of the plot or how they're going to do that in 1 hour, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
On a related topic, crazy amount of comic book TV shows on this fall. I think there's eight all told.
It's insane.
Yep.
We're getting The Flash and Arrow on the and iZombie on the CW. Mm-hmm. We're getting Constantine on NBC, Gotham on Fox. We have Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got picked up. We have Agent Carter from Marvel picked up. And then also there's Walking Dead, of course, still on.
And let's not forget Netflix. We have the four Netflix
next
Marvel
year,
series.
We got time.
Well,
we got
but
time.
they're starting to make those.
That's right. They're going to be filming them in New York starting in the fall.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm
so we'll have,
I'm
sure,
like
lots
the
of
background.
Scoop.
Yeah, we'll be in this scoop on that.
Yeah,
I'm
we'll
pretty
sure
there's
own
Pete whose job
what do you guys
is to
think?
Make absolutely sure that doesn't happen.
Have we reached peak comic book TV show? Are you going to be able to watch all of these?
I think we're going to eventually people are going to get sick of this shit, right?
Well, hopefully it'll be like any other TV show genre, like sitcoms or crime procedurals, where certain ones are different and you can like some of them and not have to like
all
of them.
Oh, I think so.
I
feel
think
like
that's possible. I think
very
that's
much like
possible.
Well, I mean, Gotham's going to be like a crime procedural.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it's just with comic book characters.
Well,
that
that's one thing. They don't
all
have to be the same genre, even. Like, they can be, yeah, like one can be more of like a superhero thing, one can be more of a crime procedural, or you have like your teenage romance or whatever Arrow is. And you can have
it's a
shirtless
teenage
dude
romance. Yeah. You're a fan, also.
And but so they don't even all have to be the same genre. But even if they all are relatively similar, as long as they're not all clone of one show or something, I think that's a good thing. I mean, obviously, we want to watch everything.
So going down the line, what are you looking forward to most?
Most. Well, then, are we ruling out the Netflix shows? Because I think that's what I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
For the fall releases, probably Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. won me over. I wasn't into it at first. But
Flash, definitely the Flash.
Really?
I'm so excited about the Flash.
What are you
the show,
so excited about?
I love the Flash. Grant Gustin, I thought, was great as the Flash when they introed him on Arrow. I'm excited about the team that's working on it. I think it's a real superhero show that's on TV.
Yeah,
so
I know. He's
like,
going to run really fast.
I will also mention it. I know you guys hate me doing this, but I met the cast of Gotham yesterday and interviewed them at the Fox Upfront, and they were awesome. They were super nice, super
excited.
Even
to you?
What?
Even to you?
Even to me, if you can believe it. But they were great. So
seems
that
like
got me very
a little soft.
Excited about that show as well.
Nice. I was going to say Gotham even before you started bragging about stuff.
I'm not bragging about stuff.
I'm excited for that. If it's good, it's going to be great, I think. As long as it doesn't get too mired in like, oh, I wish Batman was here.
I think that's why I'm more into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter because I've seen them before. Gotham, I want a Jim Gordon show. I can't believe anyone thinks that's a good idea other than me.
I love the Jim Gordon show as a late-night talk show. Or shit, the Riddler's going to be in
I'm just afraid Gotham's going to suck, and I love those characters so much that I just don't...
Yeah.
I'm ready to be let down by
I'm
that
also
show.
Excited to see how S.H.I.E.L.D. wraps up.
Tonight?
Yeah,
last episode is great, you guys.
What are you looking...
Fuck you.
Here we go. What are you looking forward to, though, next season?
I'm looking forward to Constantine and Gotham.
So you but Constantine the most?
Yeah, after seeing that trailer, you've
seen
it?
So no one cares about iZombie?
No, I'm excited about... I love iZombie as well, but I think It's weird. It doesn't feel like the superhero show. So
no. Did you kiss the cast of iZombie?
I did not kiss the cast of iZombie. Guys, we're going to have to wrap up the Week in Geek, so sadly, I can't tell you my thoughts from seeing X-Men Days of Future Past.
Wait, come on. No, seriously.
But it's time for an X-Section, which is trivia with Peter J. LePage.
Tell us.
We
got to
wrap this up.
Come on. At least give us a quick sentence. What'd you think?
No time.
Come on. A quick sentence.
We got to go, Pete.
You're an asshole. All right, this is the part we get back to you, the lovely audience. I loved how I turned on my phone and it said Turbo Teen, really big. This is the part we get back
to
you.
It's real.
It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising the hand. Yes, you, first hand up guy. Come on up.
Yeah, nice. Come on up.
Yeah.
What is your name, sir?
Karen.
Karen, stay right over here. Nice to meet you, sir. So how this is going to work, I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, get them all right, you win $25. As long as you read everything that came out this week, you'll be fine. So here we go. Question number one. In Moon Knight number 3, we have Moon Knight fighting a gang of punk blank. Is it A, ghosts, B, robots, or is it C, steampunk cosplay? Yeah, steampunk cosplay. What? No, okay. So it's either A, ghosts, which is the correct answer, or it's B, robots.
I'm going to roll with A.
A is correct. Yeah. All right. In Punisher, question number 2. In Punisher number 5, which is amazing, who breaks into the LA power grid? Is it A, Bishop, B, Electro, or is it C, Godzilla? Super pumped about this movie, Godzilla, man. I cannot wait. Salvin's already saw it, though, so... So it's either A, Bishop, which doesn't make any sense, so don't pick that one, or B, Electro.
B, Jamie Foxx, Electro.
All right. Well, it's not the Jamie Foxx Electro. It's actually a better
version.
All
Electros are Jamie Foxx from now on.
From now on,
wait,
I guess,
until
is that real?
Reveal.
Yeah. All right. And last question. In Savage Wolverine number 18, Logan joins a blank. Is it A, a motorcycle gay?
Jim.
Game? Gang? Wow. A motorcycle gang. B, secret ops team, or is it C, have you seen these ads for Wolverine dying in 3 months? I mean, what are we supposed to be excited about that? I mean, what the fuck? All right. So it's either A, motorcycle gang, or B, secret ops team. Go with the first one.
I'm going to go with A.
Yeah, $25 to you, sir. Congratulations. Thank you very much for volunteering.
Amazing. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Yeah. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Hellboy in Hell number 6.
Nice.
Yeah,
It's been a while.
Yeah, so I'm just excited that it came out. I was like, oh, shit, yes. That was my reason.
Cool. Justin, what about you?
I'm looking forward to Afterlife with Archie. Number 5 is coming out tomorrow.
Boy.
One of my favorite books. Definitely worth checking out.
Cool. I'm looking forward to The Wrath. Welcome to Christmas Land. Number 6 is coming out. I don't know if you guys read Nosferatu by Joe Hill, but this is a prequel to the novel, and the comic series has been awesome. Even if you didn't read the book, the series still sets it up really nicely. It's great. It's dark, disturbing, just the sort of thing that apparently I love.
Yeah, it turns out you have to look at yourself in the mirror.
I do. I'm a bit of
just
a
just don't say Red Rum.
Yeah.
Cool. Nat?
I'm looking forward to All New The Ultimates number 2. All New Ultimates. What's it called? I'm talking. I got most of the words of the title and then some, so you're welcome. Yeah. All New Ultimates number 2. I don't read anything in the Ultimate Universe, and I don't really care to just because I can't get involved in a new one. But the writer is this guy, Michael Fife, who wrote one of my favorite books last year. He wrote, penciled, inked, colored, and completely produced this monthly superhero book called Copra. And he put out 12 issues last year. And, yeah, they're re-releasing them as compendiums now because he only put out, like, a few hundred of each issue. But it's really fantastic, like, Suicide Squad-style down-and-out superhero book. And he's kind of bringing some of that same storytelling to the Ultimates in the sort of post, Cataclysm? I only know a little bit of what's happening in this world. But it's an interesting book, and he wrote this book and got the, put out his own superhero book for a year and got the attention of Marvel. So I'm really interested to see what he does with the bigger book.
Awesome. And plenty of your stuff. What should people check out?
You can look at things that I write about comic books on collegehumor.com, including one article about superheroes' penises. And you can read my articles that are and are not about penises on vice.com, my column, The Hidden Language.
All right, there we go. To be fair, your column on Vice is also kind
of... So far, it's 100% about sex, yes.
Okay, all right. So, penises, there we go. Great. Pete, what should we plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tom Adar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Trahan. We want to thank Nat for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We want to thank everybody at Fontana's, but most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday
night. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.
Totally free. Please tell your friends. My middle name is X-Men was really good.
Yeah.
Zalvin. Good night.
Put it on a birth certificate.